أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلم تقتلوهم ولكن الله قتلهم، وما رميت إذ رميت ولكن الله رمى، وليبلي المؤمنين منه بلاء حسنا إن الله سميع عليم. ذلكم وأن الله موهن كيد الكافرين. إن تستفتحوا فقد جاءكم الفتح، وإن تنتهوا فهو خير لكم، وإن تعودوا نعد ولن تغني عنكم فئتكم شيئا ولو كثرت، وأن الله مع المؤمنين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تولوا عنه وأنتم تسمعون. ولا تكونوا كالذين قالوا سمعنا وهم لا يسمعون. إن شر الدواب عند الله الصم البكم الذين لا يعقلون. ولو علم الله فيهم خيرا لأسمعهم، ولو أسمعهم لتولوا وهم معرضون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم، واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون. واتقوا فتنة لا تصيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة، واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. واذكروا إذ أنتم قليل مستضعفون في الأرض تخافون أن يتخطفكم الناس فآواكم وأيدكم بنصره ورزقكم من الطيبات لعلكم تشكرون. We are going through the Surah Anfal, and inshallah we're going to be starting today from ayah number 17. As we know, and as we've heard in previous lessons, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims despite the fact that they were very weak in number. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the victory is done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Sahaba. And again, we know the Quran has been revealed to us as humans, and the Quran, it basically tells us what human psychology is about and how humans think. And as the Muslims had got this great victory over the mushrikeen of Makkah, the conversation between them was how brave each one of them had been during the battle and who had done what during the battle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed verses to basically calm them down. And this is actually the instinct that we all have, okay, that a person, he does something and he does it well, and then he becomes a little bit arrogant and he says that I did this and I did that. Whereas the reality is that only things happen with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing happens without the will, without the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we should learn, and we should always, whenever we do something, we should always turn it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Sahaba when this happened, and He said to them, فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. O Sahaba, O Muslims, when you fought against the disbelievers, it wasn't you that killed them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who was behind the scenes, and He assisted you, He helped you, He sent down angels for your help. So He was the one who was the doer behind the scenes. فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. O Muslims, you did not kill them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who killed them. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. And O Prophet of Allah, when you threw, it wasn't you that threw, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one that threw. What does that mean? It is reported that before the battle actually started, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he looked out at the troops of the disbelievers, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to him and instructed him to pick up pebbles and sand from the earth and throw it in their direction. And there are some riwayat that he threw it in three directions. First to the right, then to the left, and then to the center. And other riwayat say that he just took one handful and he threw it in the direction of the disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took the sand and the pebbles and he put it in all of the eyes of the disbelievers simultaneously. And when they got the sand in their eyes, they became confused, and it was at that point that the Muslims made the attack. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he's being addressed and he's being told that, O Prophet of Allah, when you threw, it wasn't you that was throwing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who actually threw. So it wasn't actually the throwing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, but the fact that he got sand in the eyes of all of the disbelievers, all of the mushrikeen simultaneously, that was the doing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson here to be learned is that tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictates that before we do something, we have tawakkul, and after we've done something and achieved something, tawakkul dictates that we turn the results back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Okay, that if we are successful, then we turn the results back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the one who enabled us to do that. وَلْيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا. And so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could test the mu'mineen from it with a good test. So the understanding generally we have is that whenever we are going through any kind of a difficulty, that is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we tend to neglect the fact that when we are going through good times, that is also a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we tend to neglect very easily. That Allah has given me something, He has given me a blessing, He has given me something that I should be grateful for, that is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how I use that blessing that He's given me. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a huge kingdom, something that nobody else had before and will never have after that. A kingdom where he had the control over the animals, he could converse with the animals, he could understand the language of the animals, he had control over the jinns and even over the winds. And nobody has ever had that before and nobody will ever have that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he refers to Sulaiman alayhi salam one day, he looked out at his kingdom and he is saying, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that a lot of us probably have on plaques and everything at home, on posters and woven into carpets. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Referring to the blessings that Allah has given us. And of course, we have to recognize that anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is from His grace, is from His blessing. Okay, but the next verse, what does it say? Again, referring to Sulaiman alayhi salam, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me this thing? Why did He give me this huge kingdom? So that He could test me whether I'm grateful or I'm ungrateful. وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever is grateful, then he is grateful for his own benefit. So gratitude is not that a person basically just says Alhamdulillah for the blessing of Allah, but gratitude is to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do in this world. That is what true gratitude is, that we are grateful to Allah, therefore we are obedient to Him. So وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ. And whoever is ungrateful, then Allah is ghani, He doesn't need our thanks, He doesn't need our worship, He doesn't need anything from us, and He is praiseworthy. So وَلْيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا. This blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the victors of Badr was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see how they would react. And of course, they have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for the victory that came and not become arrogant and proud. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Samir. He is listening. He hears everything at all times. And He is Alim. He is all-knowing at all times. So He heard the conversations that were taking place amongst the victors of Badr, and He revealed these verses. ذَلِكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُوهِنُ كَيْدِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Yes, this is one thing for you, O Muslims. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُوهِنُ كَيْدِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who will disgrace or he will weaken the plots of the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the doer of that, and he will continue to do that. Now the conversation turns to the disbelievers, the mushrikeen of Mecca, who were defeated at the Battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them directly and says, "In tastaftihu faqad ja'akum al-fath." If you wanted victory, then victory has come to you. How so? There are riwayats, it is mentioned, Suddi says, كَانَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ حِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ مَكَّةِ إِلَى بَدْرِ أَخَذُوا بِأَسْتَارِ الْكَعْبَةِ فَاسْتَنْسَرُوا اللَّهَ وَقَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ انصُرْ أَعْلَى الْجُنْدَيْنِ وَأَكْرَمَ الْفِئَتَيْنِ وَخَيْرَ الْقَبِيلَتَيْنِ. These people, the mushrikeen of Mecca, when they were leaving Mecca, they went to the Kaaba and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while holding on to the cover of the Kaaba, the ghilaf of the Kaaba, the cover of the Kaaba. They held on to it and made a dua. And they made a very general dua. And they thought, in reality, that they are the ones who are the best. So the dua they made was, "O Allah, help the highest of the two armies. The best of the two armies, help them. And the two groups, the most gracious of them and the most honorable of them, help them. And وَخَيْرَ الْقَبِيلَتَيْنِ, and the best of the qabilas, the tribes, help them." So basically, they made a dua thinking that they were the best, they were the most gracious, they were the most honorable. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew who was the most honorable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "You ask for this victory, O mushrikeen of Mecca, you ask for this victory. In tastaftihu faqad ja'akum al-fath." You ask for that victory, so that victory came to you. The same victory you asked for, that the ones who were the most honorable and the best, they did get the victory. وَإِن تَنْتَهُ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And continuing to address the mushrikeen, if you stop, it is better for you. Stop what you're doing. Stop fighting the Muslims. Accept Islam. Accept the message that Muhammad brings to you. إِن تَنْتَهُ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you stop, this is better for you. وَإِن تَعُودُ نَعُودُ. But if you come back, and if you try to fight again, نَعُودُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will also return. It's not that this victory is just a one-off thing. You continue, we will continue to fight against you. And we will continue to help the Muslims. So don't think that this was a one-off thing. وَإِن تَعُودُ نَعُودُ. وَلَن تُغْنِيَ عَنْكُمْ فِئَتُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ كَثُرَتْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And your group could not help you in the least, even though it was a lot. Even though, O mushrikeen of Mecca, you had a huge group, three times more than the Muslims, fully armed, and you had all of the facilities available to you, but this could not help you, even though you are more. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He was with the people of Iman, He was with the believers, so obviously the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with them. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses the people of Iman in general. And we read last week that why it was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the angels to fight against the disbelievers. What was that? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ شَاقُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. That was because they had disputed with Allah and His Prophet. They had fought with Allah and His Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling the mu'mineen that don't be like those people. How not to be like those people? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa rasulah. O people of Iman, be obedient to Allah and His Prophet. Wa la tawallaw anhu wa antum tasma'un. And don't turn your back away from Him while you are listening. Okay, so listening has different categories. When a person listens, he hears, understands. You know, there are four categories: hearing, understanding, and then actually listening to the person, and then understanding and putting that thing into practice. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that don't be from those people who hear and basically ignore what the Prophet ﷺ is telling them. Okay? Be amongst those people who do everything that listening dictates to. When you truly listen to somebody, it means you hear and you obey and you put the thing into practice. Hear, understand, obey, put that thing into practice, and then propagate it and tell other people. These are the four categories. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. Don't turn your back away from him while you are listening, while you are hearing everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, meaning be obedient to the Prophet in its entirety. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. And don't be like those people who said, we have heard, and in reality they're not listening. So they hear, but they don't hear in completion, meaning they don't fulfill all of the four categories of listening that I've just mentioned. Okay? Hearing, everybody hears a khutbah, everybody hears a lecture, okay? But hearing is not the purpose behind it. Hearing is not the purpose behind it. The purpose behind it is to hear it, understand it, practice it, and propagate it. That's what completely listening to a lecture and listening to a khutbah entails. So don't be like those people who hear and who say, yes, we heard everything, but in reality they don't listen. They don't listen meaning they don't put that thing into practice. So don't be like those people, because that is knowledge which is not beneficial to you, which is the Prophet ﷺ used to ask the refuge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's refuge from such a knowledge. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. He used to ask Allah to protect him from that knowledge which was not beneficial. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna sharra dawabi inda Allahi summul bukmul ladina la ya'qilun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to those people who listen but don't actually listen, who hear but don't actually listen, meaning they don't put the thing into practice, as the worst of the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them as deaf people. They hear but they don't actually hear. They listen but they don't actually grasp, and they don't put into practice what they're supposed to. So Allah says, inna sharra dawabi inda Allah. Indeed, the worst of the creation. Dawab is the plural of dabba. Dabba, usually it refers to four-legged animals. Four-legged animals, quadriceps. Quadrupeds, I think that's the word. Quadriceps are muscles in the body. So, inna sharra dawabi inda Allahi summal bukmal ladina la ya'qilun. Indeed, the worst of the creation, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the deaf and the dumb. Deaf and the dumb, those that do not understand. Again, those people that may have heard something but don't grasp it and do not put that thing into practice. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ. The question is, so why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them understand them? Okay, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them truly listen so that they can understand what the Quran is telling them, what the Prophet ﷺ is telling them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that in them there is khair, there is goodness, then He would make them listen. But the reality is, He knows that they do not have the ability to get guidance. They do not want guidance. So, like we've said in many lessons before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that He guides and He misguides. What does that mean? He guides the people who want guidance, and He misguides the people who don't want guidance. That's what it means. It is actually, we have free will. We have the free will to practice what we want, to believe what we want. Okay? But the tawfiq comes to those people, and the help and assistance comes to those people who really want something, who really want that guidance. So this is what is meant here, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that in them there is khair, then لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ, certainly He would make them listen. وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعِدُونَ. But the reality is that such people, even if He makes them listen to something, they would turn their backs while they were making i'rad, while they were ignoring what was being said to them. So they do not want guidance, And even if guidance comes to them, even in the shape of the Prophet ﷺ himself, they turn their backs away and they ignore the thing that has been told to them. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again addresses the people of Iman and says to them, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul. Before that, the word dabba that we just mentioned, dawab. Now that is referring to animals, and the human being is basically caught between angels and the animals. Okay, the animals basically, what do? They do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do. Okay, the lion hunts and eats meat, and the cows, they eat grass and grain and other fodder and hay. So all animals basically do what they're supposed to be doing in terms of the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. But the human being, he has been given free will to basically do whatever he wants. Okay? And he can basically step out of the boundaries that are against nature, or he can stay within the boundaries. If he steps out of the boundaries, then he becomes worse than even animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُ. Such people are like animals, but even worse than animals. Because animals, at least, they go according to the nature and the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with. And you will never see a lion, for example, eating grass. Even if he is starving, it is very rare that you will find him eating grass. He will only eat meat. Okay? So, but the human being, he will go against all of the natures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Such people are like animals, but even worse than animals. So the human being, when he steps out of the boundary, he becomes worse than an animal. But if he makes an effort and he, you know, controls his nafs and desires and he strives for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person can even become even better than the angels. Why? Because even the angels, they have limitations to what they can do. They cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do as they're instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so therefore, if the human being, despite having the free will to disobey Allah and to follow his desires and to follow his nafs, he controls all of that and he is spending his time in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person can even become better than the angels. Because angels, they cannot disobey Allah. So it's not a big deal for them to be always in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is a big deal for a human being to be always in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he can, in status, get even higher than the angels. So this is something that as humans we should be focusing on and not follow in the footsteps of the animals, but to strive to become even better, inshallah, than the angels. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O people of Iman, respond to Allah and His Prophet when He calls you, lima yuhyikum, to that thing that will make you alive. What is that thing? Firstly, we have to always respond to Allah and His Prophet, meaning always be obedient to Allah and His Prophet. And the thing that will make us alive, what is that? Qatada says, هُوَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ فِيهِ النَّجَاةُ وَالْبَقَاءُ وَالْحَيَاةِ. It is referring to the Qur'an. When Allah and His Prophet call you to the Qur'an, then respond to it, because it is something that will keep you alive. Qatada says, it's referring to the Qur'an in which there is najat. There is a person's safety and baqa and his everlasting. The fact that he will be everlasting, he is remaining, wal hayat, and his life, meaning the life of the hereafter. Mujahid says that lima yuhyikum, the thing that will keep you alive, it refers to the truth, meaning the truth will keep a person alive. That is what true life is. Suddi says that fafil islami ihya'uhum ba'da mawtihim bil kufr. That a person who is in kufr, he's in disbelief, it's like he's living a dead life. There's no life in that person. In reality, he's walking around like a corpse. But a person who has Islam, he has the nur of guidance, he has the Quran within him, he's obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is life. This is the true life that we need to strive for. And we, you know, often fall into this kind of false misunderstanding of the rich and the famous people, that look at the lifestyle that they have, look at the mansions that they live in, and look at whatever they've got. Again, against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we should always look at the people who have less than us. But in reality, if you look at the lives of these people, they are empty and hollow. They do not have true happiness. Okay? And you hear often that they've committed suicide, you know, or they got killed with a drug overdose, and then you read the report of all of the drugs that were found around them. Sleeping pills and antidepressants and Prozac and all of these weird drugs that you probably never heard of. Why? We think that they're happy and they can have a peaceful sleep at night, but how come they are found with all of these drugs? Why do they need to take drugs to make them happy? The reality is that they're not truly happy. And true happiness is in the peace that Islam gives us. That is what tamanina is. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. Only with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will the hearts attain peace. So lima yuhyikum, it means the difference between iman and kufr. That a person, he's in kufr, he is living a life which is like a dead person, like a corpse, and a person who has Islam, he is alive. So, O people of Iman, respond to Allah and His Prophet, إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ, when He calls you to that thing that will make you alive. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is between a man and his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is between a man and his heart. What does that mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who guides a person. And there are certain riwayat that refer to this. It's related by Anas bin Malik radiallahu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to frequently say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turner of hearts, keep my heart steadfast upon your deen. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, amanna bik wa bima ji'ta bihi, fahal takhafu alayna. This is something that is so scary. The Sahaba were the best of the humans who spent their life in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have iman on you. We have iman on what you brought to us. We have iman on the Quran. So are you afraid for us? Are you afraid for us? So the Prophet ﷺ said, Naam. إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ بَيْنَ إِسْمَعِينَ مِنْ أَصَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يُقَلِّبُهَا. The hearts are between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can turn them wherever He wants. And of course, fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not know what in reality that means. But however the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are, we have iman on them. But there are hadith which indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can turn a person's heart at all times. So we should never ever pass a judgment on a person that such a person is going to die in the state of kufr. There are hadith which indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He becomes angry at a person who passes this kind of a judgment. Said that, how can you be the judge and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive such and such a person? I have forgiven him and I have deleted all of your good deeds, according to that hadith Qudsi. قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَحَبَطْتُ عَمَلَكَ. I have forgiven him and I have wasted your deeds. So there are other riwayat which indicate the same thing. I'll just mention a couple of them. It's a riwayat of Imam Ahmad. He narrates from the Sahaba, they said that I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, مَا مِنْ قَلْبٍ إِلَّا وَهُوَ بَيْنَ إِسْبَعِينَ مِنْ أَصَابِ الرَّحْمَنِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْ يُقِيمَهُ أَقَامَهُ وَإِذَا شَاءَ أَنْ يُزِيغَهُ أَزَاغَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said that there's no heart except it is between the two fingers of the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wants, He can straighten the heart, or if He wants, He can he can make the heart crooked, meaning he can misguide that person. There are a lot of riwayat which indicate the same thing. I'm not going to go through all of them. Basically, the gist is the same. So we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah and steadfastness, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us on the straight path. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all the human beings and says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Be aware of that trial that will not only reach the people that did dhulm, not only the sinners, but it will be a common fitna, a common trial that will come to everybody. What does that mean? That we fall into this trap of understanding, of thinking that I am doing my bit, I'm praying my 5 times salat, and I am doing what I'm supposed to be as a Muslim. I'm staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish me. But Allah says no. Sometimes trials will come to even those people who are not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the pious people, Allah will involve them in a punishment that comes to people that are either committing sins or even not committing sins. Some scholars say that this was specifically for the Sahaba, but other scholars say no, it is for the whole Ummah, and we should all be aware of this. How it is mentioned in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a Sahabi narrates, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَا يُعَذِّبُ الْعَامَةَ بِعَمَلِ الْخَاسَ حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْمُنْكَرَ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانِيهِمْ وَهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُنْكِرُوهُ فَلَا يُنْكِرُوهُ فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَذَّبَ اللَّهُ الْخَاسَةَ وَالْعَامَةَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not punish the public, meaning all of the people. He doesn't bring a punishment which is common to everybody until he sees evil being committed in front of people and they are capable of forbidding that evil and they do not forbid it. Once they do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will send down a punishment to the khas people, meaning the special people, the people who do it, and also the Aama, meaning in general, everybody will be involved in that punishment. There's yet another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَتَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أَوْ لَيُوشِكَنَّ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عِقَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِهِ ثُمَّ لَتَدْعُنَّهُ فَلَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, I swear by him in whose hands my life is, most certainly you should make amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, meaning order people to do good and forbid them from evil, or it is very close that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a punishment upon you, then you will most certainly make dua to him and he will not respond to your dua. So again, making sure that we order people to do good and forbid them from evil. Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu says, إن كان الرجل لا يتكلم بالكلمة على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيصير منافقا وإني لأسمعها من أحدكم في المقعد الواحد 4 مرات لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهن عن المنكر ولتحاضن على الخير أو ليسحتكم الله جميعا بعذاب أو ليؤمرن عليكم شراركم ثم يدعو خياركم فلا يستجاب لهم. Again, a very, very powerful statement of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. He says, indeed, there were men that used to say certain words in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we would regard that person as a munafiq. If he said a certain thing in the while he was with us, we would regard that person as a hypocrite. But I hear you. So this is basically a sahabi talking to the tabi'een. He's saying, I hear you in one sitting saying the same words 4 times. Four times meaning that you have no regard for certain things that we used to take and used to think of something as being really huge in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And then he went on to say that most certainly you should order people to do good, and you should forbid them from evil, and you should encourage people to do good. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will destroy you all with a punishment. Or He will make Amir upon you. He will make your leadership the evil ones from amongst you. And then your good people will even make dua, and even their dua will not be accepted. So look at how many points are mentioned there about making sure that we first of all stay away from evil, and if we see evil being done, we should try to prevent that from happening. Another hadith along the same lines, Umm Salama, one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, she said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا ظهرت المعاصي في أمتي عمهم الله بعذاب من عنده. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that when the ma'asi, when the disobedience will become common amongst my people, amongst my ummah, then the punishment will come to them, and it will be amongst everybody. Everybody will get that punishment. فقلت يا رسول الله أما فيهم أناس صالحون. She said that won't there be people that are pious amongst them? So the Prophet ﷺ said, Bala, of course, there will be. قَالَتْ فَكَيْفَ يَصْنَعُ لَائِكَ. So how will those people will be dealt with? قَالْ يُصِيبُهُمْ مَا أَصَابَ النَّاسِ ثُمَّ يُصِيرُونَ إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِ. The punishment will come to them, but ultimately, when they are presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be forgiven and they will be put to the side. Okay, so, but in this world, they will be punished. So, going back again, there's other riwayat which are similar to this. And, the main point is that what do we learn from that? It is important that we should not just feel comfortable about thinking that I'm coming to the masjid or the masjid is getting full. Think of how many people are outside and who are ignoring all of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and na'udhu billah, many people even becoming murtad and leaving Islam. This is something that we really need to be concerned about, and not just think about ourselves and the fact that we are coming to the masjid and we are praying. This is something that we really need to think about and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not involve us in that punishment. So Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Be aware of that trial that will not just be upon those people who did the dhulm especially, but it will be a very common punishment. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has a very severe punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when His punishment comes, it will be very severe indeed. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Sahaba and the fact that they got this victory. They should be always grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us come from maybe poorer countries where our situation was not that good. Okay, our financial situation, the houses we were living in. We should always think back, reflect upon that, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us out of that situation and He gave us so much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Sahaba and He told them, remember how you were being persecuted in Mecca, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you victory in the Battle of Badr. You should be grateful to Him. وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَضَعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Remember when you were small, in number, مُسْتَضَعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and you were being persecuted on the earth. You were regarded as weak on the earth. تَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَتَخَطَّفَكُمُ النَّاسِ. You are afraid that people will just lift you up. Takhattuf means, when a bird swoops down and just gets something and you never see that thing again, like an eagle takes a rabbit or a mouse, then it's gone. Basically, it's destroyed because the bird is going to eat it and kill it. So you are afraid that the people are going to just grasp you or grab you and destroy you. This was how the Muslims were living in Mecca. فَآوَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave you refuge. وَأَيَّدَكُمْ بِنَصْرِ. And He helped you with His special help. وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And He provided you sustenance from His طَيِّبَات, from His good things. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you could be grateful. So again, this is addressing the Sahaba, but of course we also need to think and reflect upon, you know, all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. I'll just finish off by saying of Qatada how he describes the Sahaba and how they were and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them. Qatada says, كان هذا الحي من العرب أذل الناس ذلا. This group of people that accepted Islam, they were the most disgraceful people. They were the most disrespected people. وَأَشْقَاهُ عَيْشًا. And they had the worst kind of lifestyle, the most misfortunate lifestyle. وَأَجْوَعُهُ بُطُونًا. And their stomachs were the most hungry. وَأَعْرَاهُ جُلُودًا. And their skins were the most naked. وَأَبْيَنُهُ ضَلَالًا. And in terms of misguidance, they were openly in misguidance. مَنْ عَاشَ مِنْهُمْ عَاشَ شَقِيًّا. Whoever lived from amongst them lived a life of misfortune. وَمَنْ مَاتَ مِنْهُمْ رُدِيَ فِي النَّارِ. And whoever died from amongst them, he would have gone into the hellfire. يُؤْكَلُونَ وَلَا يَأْكُلُونَ. They used to be eaten and they did not used to eat themselves. Meaning, people used to basically, they were downtrodden people. وَاللَّهِ مَا نَعْلَمُ قَبِيلًا مِّنْ حَاضِرِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَانُوا أَشَرَّ مَنْزِلًا مِّنْهُمْ. I swear by Allah, we never used to know any group of people that were on the face of the earth that were in a worse situation than them. حَتَّى جَاءَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَمَكَّنَ بِهِ فِي الْبِلَادِ. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brought Islam and he gave them a position in the lands. وَوَسَعَ بِهِ فِي الرِّزْقِ. And through Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave them so much sustenance. وَجَعَلَهُمْ بِهِ مُلُوكًا عَلَىٰ رِقَابِ النَّاسِ. And those people that were downtrodden and the most misfortunate, those people became kings that ruled over the necks of the people. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ أَعْتَى اللَّهُ مَا رَأَيْتُمْ. And through Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what you see. فَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نِعَمِهِ. So all of you should be grateful for his blessings. فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ مُنْعِمٌ يُحِبُّ الشُّكْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, He is mun'im. He gives blessings and He loves people who are grateful. وَأَهْلُ الشُّكْرِ فِي مَزِيدٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ. And the people who are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will continue to increase for them. So, keeping this thing in mind, this description, how the Sahaba were and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated them, both in this world and in the hereafter, we should always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He's given us. You know, even us, most of us from the Indian subcontinent, what were we? 4 or 5 centuries ago, we were probably Hindus, okay? And if it wasn't for the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy, the fact that He guided us, we would be sitting in a temple somewhere, you know, prostrating in front of a statue. So we should always be grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided us and He gave us guidance and He brought us to the right path. The more we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more He will increase us in our blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.